any man be in Christ? Where are you? Now, I'm getting ready to show you a parallel with the children of the kingdom. Because I'm going to show you that the children of the kingdom was in the kingdom. And they got kicked out. So, being in Christ is not enough. You got to get Christ in you. And that's what I keep saying to you. God has given you the ultimate to be one of his sons. None of this that's happening, you have to become a believer. I know people think they are because they've been in church all their life. That don't make you no believer. That don't mean Christ in you because you've been in church. I'm going to show you Israel. Israel had been God's people all the way from Abraham. And yet they did not know him. So you can't just go because you know who you are. All right, so I need you to listen. Verse 17 again, read. Therefore, if any man beware in Christ. Make sure you get this because I'm going to show you that Israel, the children of Israel, were in the kingdom and got put out. All right? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. That most of your Bible will come out and say you're a new creation. It doesn't say you're a new creature. It also you are a new creature. But new creature is a new creation. All right? Then it said, old things are passed away. Old things are passed away. And he's talking about the old you because he told you you're dead already. Old you are passed away. You have already passed. See, I can show you that in 1 John. Find that for me, honey. 1 John, I read a part of this morning. I didn't finish. It said you are passed from death to life. See, you already passed. That's what you did. You gave him your life to live here in this earth. He gave you his life to live in heaven. See, you're living in heaven with him. He living here with us. You exchange places. So you're passed. We're going to show you. You passed from death to life. All right. Now, in verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are past. He's talking about the old you. Your old life has passed. Behold, all things are become new. And all things of God who has reconciled us to God, Jesus Christ, by himself, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, what I'm going to do is, and also, when you get ready to, on your phone or Google, you can Google a Zonovan Bible. But I'm going to read this out of the Greek, because the only two Bibles I have found that says this correctly is the Greek, which is the original context, and the Zonovan Bible. All right, so I'm going to go to now 2 Corinthians 5:17. And I'm going to read this out of the Greek. The Greek is the translation that we got first because the Bible was written from Hebrew to Greek. All right. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'm going to start reading with verse 14. I'm reading out of the Greek translation. All right. It said, verse 14. For Christ's love compels us, King James used the word constrains us, because we are convinced that one died for all, therefore all died. So you got to understand, God look at you as died. All right, now I'm going to come to this verse I want over there in 1 John. And he died for all. See, Christ died for all, we died. And that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and raised again. So from now on, verse 16, we regard no man from a worldly point of view. He's talking about seeing him naturally. You have to not do that anymore in the church, especially in the church. All right? From a worldly point of view, looking at him from the outside. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do not any longer. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. Now, that's why you must believe. That's why you got to believe. See, God already did it. God already did everything. Your believing is how God makes all this happen in your life. He puts you in Christ. He put Christ in you. If you just believe, none of this you can do. Everything is done by God. All right, just like how you got here physically. You did nothing to get here. All right, you just woke up one morning, you was here. All right. So stop being so spiritual. Just receive it. All right. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be where? In Christ. I want to show you this again because the key is in Christ. If any man be in Christ, a new creation has come. I like this translation. A new creation has come. That's my subject. Say, a new creation has come. All right. Now, you got to understand something. That's who we are. Say, we are a new creation. All right. A new creation has come. Watch what it says. The old creation has gone. Now, who was the old creation? Adam or you? You. That's why I'm going to show you passed away. That's why 1 John in the King James said we are passed from death to life. All right. Now, the old is gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was in Christ, reconciled the world to himself, not counting the people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. So 95% of the church you go to can't get this done because they're going to count them sins against those people. And that's not the ministry of reconciliation. All right. God has already died for the sins. And our job is to make sure we tell people what God already done. They believe the gospel. Let me go and show you that. Let me go and show you that first. I'm going to show you that in out of the King James and 2 Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to read this morning. I did not, but let's at least read verse 1 through 6. Ephesians 3, 1 through 6. I'm reading that out of the King James. I'm going to get you, honey, just a moment here. Not get you like that. I'm not going to get you. I got to clear myself up. So Pastor Crump told Sister Crump he going to get her. All right. See, that's what kids hear when parents say, I'm going to get you. That's not that kind of get you. All right. I'm going to get to her because she's holding one of my scriptures. All right. I got to watch it, you know, just. All right, Ephesians chapter 3. Are you there? Verse 1. For this cause, Paul said, I'm in the prison of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, that's the dispensation we are in because we are the sons of God, okay? If you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known, Paul said to me, the mystery as I wrote a few words, said Christ, is the mystery. Right. He said, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So he told you what the mystery is, the mystery of Christ. There it is right there. You can underline it. Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men. Remember, we are the new creation. Say, we are the new creation. The new creation are sons of God. Right. See, these people were sons of men. All right. They are sons of men, sons of Adam, sons of Abraham. That's not you. You are sons of God. You are the new creation. All right. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto us, unto his holy apostle and prophet by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be now fellow heirs of the same body, and partaker of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So we get it all how? By the gospel. So when you don't believe the gospel, I'll be reading you the Bible. Listen, when you disagree with anything in the Bible, you disagree with the Bible. It's not like, well, I just don't believe that. Well, no, you just don't believe the Bible. Because you don't understand that, is what you should say. I don't understand that. You disagree with God's word. See, that's what Israel did. They didn't disagree with everything he said, but they disagreed that he was Jesus the Christ. He said, I'm the son of the living God. You making yourself equal with God, they said. See, that's exactly what happened when I tell you, you are sons of God. Most people just like, well, how we ain't sons of God yet. Well, when will you be sons of God? The Bible said, now we're the sons of God. I read to that this morning in 1 John 3, 1. I'm not going back to that right now. I'm going to be moving on. All right, so I read to you, our subject is, The new creation has come. Somebody said, that's me. Now, what I want us to do is come out of it. Come out of the slump. Right now, I'm on announce the new creation has come. And those who are the new creation, I want you to give your father a hand clap. Say, the new creation. You are the new creation. Right. It's no different when a new child is born. The word goes out. He's here. She's here. 5 pounds, 4 ounces. 6 pounds, up. 7 pounds. They're here. That's what you got to understand what happened. Now, I'm going back to Genesis, which I started this morning, because I want to show you that everything started out with Gentiles. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 6. No, I got a verse here I want to get done. 1 John 3:14, because I'm going to show you, you have to understand what, remember I gave this morning, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what kind of gospel are they? Synoptic. Synoptic. All right? S-Y-N-O. N-O-P-T-I-C, synoptic. You are not, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were the only one that I call synoptic gospel. You, John is not synoptic. What does it mean by synoptic gospel? It means that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John told about Jesus, his life, his natural birth, his natural life. That's not John. John starts out in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See, he does not go there. Naturally, the synoptic gospel, everything is about Jesus. The gospel of John is about Christ. He's the Christ. It's not, John and Matthew, Mark, Luke, they was told not to say it. But let me show you something. Go to the gospel of John chapter 20 and verse 30. See, in John's gospel, he told you that who is the I am. All the way through John, you get 7 I ams. Starting from John chapter number 6, see, you got I am. All through John 6, all through John 7, all through John 8, chapter number 10, chapter 11. The last one he's going to tell you, I'm going to talk about today, I am the vine, John 15. And I'm going to show you that in John 15. So everything in John is telling you who he is. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are synoptic gospel. It tell you who Jesus, his birth, his life, who he stayed with, Elizabeth, Mary. You don't get that over here in John. All right. Now let's go to 1 John first. 1 John 4:17? 3:14. Thank you. 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 14. All right. And see, I stopped with verse 11 and 12 this morning. Remember, that's when I saw that. And verse 13 said, marvel not that the world hates you. Watch what it said in verse 14. We know that we have, I need you to read. We know that we have what? Remember, I told you, you were crucified with Christ. See, you gotta understand what I'm giving you and believe it. Don't wait till the whole mess is done and then believe. You're an unbeliever. You believe when you hear the word. Amen. All right. It's just like a person standing right before Jesus Christ and says, oh, I believe in Jesus Christ. You didn't believe in Jesus Christ after he died on that cross. Jesus told him, said, after I'm risen, you're going to believe. Why? Because you're going to see me now. Well, why wait after he rise from the dead and see him and say, oh, I'm going to believe it. Believe now. That's, God can't lie. It's impossible. All right. I gave you, we were crucified with Christ. I gave you, we were created in Christ Jesus. I gave you, Christ liveth in me, and Christ is in my life. I give you all of that. Now I'm bringing you right now unto the climax. Now I'm getting ready, I'm showing you now the new creation has come. I gave you all of the death and the stuff. I gave you all of that. We will suffer with him. We die with him. We bury with him. We were risen last week, Colossians chapter 3. If you be risen with Christ, now I'm showing you the new life has come. The new child has come. See, this is awesome when you really look at it. And verse 14, read now. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brother. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. See, you still can't love. If you are a new creation, why you can't love? Love is sacrificial. Love had nothing to do with what they did to me. Because you're the new creation, that means you don't see them after flesh anymore. Amen? All right, so you can't hold grudges in the new covenant. All right, you can't go by what they did to me. Look what they did to Jesus. But he still loveth. Still he put God, so love the world. but he still loved them, right? All right. So that's how we have to live. All right. We have passed, say, we have passed from death to life. All right. Now, we are the new creation. The new creation has come. The new creation are sons of God. So I'm taking you into a ministry. God knows I've been ministering you for so long. I'm finally come to where the purpose is to make you sons. Now we can get on to living. Somebody say amen. If you could only understand that you would already say, stop trying to get saved, bless God. God saved you at the cross one time. All right, so stay away from this. All right, if I can just get your sons now, you got to go on. We got to go on looking forward, okay? All right, we're pressing toward the mark now, right? All right, now, is there anything I got to go to now besides Genesis 6? John chapter 20, that's where I'm going, right? Thank you so much. The Gospel of John chapter 20, and we're going to look at the verse 30, 31. And why was John's Gospel written? It was not written for all of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It wasn't written for that. Watch what it's written for. John chapter number, let's start reading verse 28. We're going to go back to Thomas because he was a doubter. Let's read, help Thomas out here. And Thomas answered, verse number 28. Let's start back there. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Why? Why did he get there? Because Jesus told him, don't be faithful but believing. The verse before that. Look at verse 29. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because thou hast what? Seen me, thou hast believed. That ain't no faith God want to use. You want to believe after you see it. See, this is what happened with the message. When I'm ministering, people just sitting up there doubting, questioning the word. You an unbeliever. You got to believe the word before it manifests your life. I already told you, everything God want to show you, you got to believe it first. That's the new covenant. In the old covenant, they saw and then believed. Why did he open up Nicodemus' eyes? Not Nicodemus, the blind man in John 9. Why did he say, Lord, that my eyes may be open? Why? Because if he see him and believe, it's in your Bible. Find that for me, why? It said they had to see and believe. That's how they were saved. That's not your covenant. You got to believe and then you'll see. Do y'all understand how it works? That's why you have faith. They didn't have faith. You have faith. Faith is the substance, Hebrew 11 and 1, of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? It's not seen. So you got to understand, you got to see spiritually, believe first, and then God will show it to you. You don't have from God, that's why you don't have. You got to believe first. That's an awesome thing to believe I'm healed. Believe I'm saved. God said, I'll show it to you. Believe I'm healed. God said, I'll show it to you. If you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. We want God to show it to us first. No, you got to believe first. People, he won't see how people are going to call you ignorant. All other words, let them do it. You believe God, but watch the outcome. Amen. Yeah. All right. Now, John chapter 20 and verse number 30, we're going to go right there. All right. And verse 30 says, and many other signs, truly, that Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. This is what John said. I didn't write it all. But these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is who? He's telling you Jesus is the Christ. And that believing, you might have life through his name. That's how they got life. Now, let's go to John 1. Let's go to the beginning. And let's look at the verse we're supposed to cover this morning, John chapter 1 and verse 9. John chapter 1 and verse 9. See, in this chapter, he's telling them in the beginning. Let's start with verse 1, as a matter of fact. John 1 and 1. Because he's going through who Jesus is. First, in verse 1, he is the Word. John 1 and 1, read, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word, everything is capital W. Word. And the Word was God. And the Word was God. He's telling you, this is the man that I'm writing about. Now, John did not write about Jesus while he was walking down the road. He could not write until the Holy Ghost come. Understand that. He could not know. Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will teach you all things. They did not know this. They could not remember. He will bring all things to your remembrance. So John could not write this. John could not write the book of Revelation until he was off of the island of Patmos. And people still don't believe he wrote it. It's an awesome thing. He was on the island of Patmos. He saw everything, but he could not write it. When he got off, he wrote the book of John. He wrote the book of Revelation. And that's what people don't understand. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, history already records that they wrote their book before Paul finished his ministry, but not John. Because John had to continue. See, John had to write the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and then the book of Revelation. He was a part of all those books. So he had to write them all. All right? Here he said he's the Word. He's talking about who Christ is. Then he's going to give you in verse 3, read it. All things were made by him. He's telling you. By the Word. And without him was not anything made than that was made. In him was life. Now this is the same life that's in you. You could not have the life in you if you didn't have Christ in you. Christ in you is your life. Christ is the anointing. Christ is everything that God is. And he's in you. See, if you ever get this revelation, you'll stop looking on the outside. Everything you need is in you. If I could just get one clap, just give me one clap. Verse number 4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The life in you is the light. It's the word light, it's the knowledge of God. Everything in you, the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, the understanding, everything is in you. The Holy Ghost is in you. The Father's in you. It's all in you. You got to stop looking on the outside. All right? Now, let's go down to the verse I want in verse 9. All that's talking about the true light. Verse 9, read. That was the true light which lightened every man was coming to the world. Now, this light is for your soul. Remember, it's not for your natural view. It's for your soul. If your soul don't have light, it's in darkness. Okay? That's why light is for your soul. That means you're delivered from ignorance. But this light gets brighter and brighter. The word knowledge is light. The more knowledge you get, the more light you have in the house. All right? Now, verse number 9 says, that was the true light which lightened every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world, now this world here is talking about Israel, and the world knew him not. He made the world world was made by him, but the world knew him not. He's talking about Israel. Now he says, he came to his own. His own received them not. Now he's telling this Israel. Now you know it's Israel. He called him the world, then he called him his own. But as many as received him, to them gave he power. Now that word power, I gave it to you before. Make a circle around it and put Romans chapter 8, verse 9. That word power there, many people miss that, even the translator of this Bible. They have the right and the privilege. Most of your Bible would put down that you have the right. The word power is the right and the privilege. That ain't no right, no privilege. That's the Holy Spirit. But it's not the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of Christ. That's the power you. See, you have Christ in you. Christ in you is the power of God. We got that from Paul, 1 Corinthians 1:24, verse 17. Christ is the power of God. Well, that's the same word power right here. This word here, in verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power. You want to put Romans 8 and 9, we'll go to it later, to become. You have to have the Spirit Christ in you to become. You have to have the Spirit of Christ in you to become a son. You cannot be a son without his Spirit. So when I go to Romans 8 and 9, we'll do that and come right back here. Go to Romans 8 and 9. We'll come right back there. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. You can't be a son without the Holy Spirit, without the Spirit of Christ in you. See, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus, in person, is seated at the right hand of the Father. But Christ is in you. So you got to understand Jesus Christ. Jesus, the man that rose from the dead, is seated. But Christ is in you. All right? We in Romans chapter 8. What verse I want? And verse 9. You got it. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh. See, you are not in the flesh anymore. Because it's not I that live no more, right? Come on, come on. It's not I that live, right? Where are you? You in Christ. Where are you? Where's your life? In Christ. Your life is hidden in Christ. Christ now become your life. All right, verse number 9. But you are not in the flesh, but you are in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. Now watch what he does. He's called the spirit of God that dwells in you, but if any man have not the spirit of what? Christ. The Son's spirit is called what? Come on, I need everybody to participate for once in your life. I'm telling you this, you're a new creation. Would you please say some new creation? Come on, the old man is gone, boy. Thank God. All right. See, the old man is dead. New man is alive. It's a big difference. All right. Verse number 9. You are not in the flesh, but you in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of Christ dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, how many see the spirit of Christ? Say the spirit of Christ. Right. He is what? If you don't have the spirit of Christ, you're none of him. So you got to understand, God gave you the spirit of his son. See, Jesus came in John 10 and 10. I'm come that you might have life. Who life you got? Christ's life. I call it the grace life. So the grace life is the Christ life. Say, I got him. See, Christ is the grace of God. You have Christ living in you. You have God's grace living in you. You got God's power living in you. You keep going on. I keep telling you, it's all in you. But we got to come out of the slump where we were. All right. Now, anything I need to cover right there? Got to be brilliant. You got to already have this stuff, man. All right. Let's look at John 4:48. Always have your finger on it. Always have your finger. Right there, I got it. I am not going to move that finger to you. John 4:48. John chapter 4, verse 48. Right. See, they had to see and believe. That's not your covenant. John chapter 4 and verse 48. You have not marked it, mark your Bible. Then said Jesus, except you do what? See. They had to see. You got plenty of places like this. This is just one of them. Except you see signs and wonders, you would not believe. See, their whole thing is they had to see something. They always said, give us a sign. Show us a sign. Because if they didn't see those signs, they weren't going to believe God. All right, let's move on. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 6. I got to go to work. Genesis chapter 6. Now, in Genesis chapter 6, you understand why these places said sons of God. I've heard many people try to teach this that did not know what they were saying. And I thank God. Some people say, yeah, the women, the daughters went with giants. I've heard it. How many ever heard that one? Yeah, I'm live. Just get them out. All right. I mean, that's dumb. How you going to go with Goliath? You this tall, Goliath. See, you got to get out of that stuff, man. All right. Come on, Genesis chapter 6. I mean, just think. You can't even reach Goliath's draws. You down here, Goliath, you got to come out of that thinking. Don't let nobody deceive you. If anybody ever tell you it again, you tell them, look, if you ever hear you say it again, I'm going to rebuke you openly. How in the world I'm going to sleep with Goliath? These people are giants. They said, well, the giants, what would the daughters of men? Come on. That's foolishness. All right. Verse 1. Now, I said that way because I'm trying to snap you out of it. Okay? Verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, daughters, because you didn't see the word daughters no more. You never seen daughters, you got to chapter 5. When God gave us Seth, S-E-T-A, John chapter 5, let's back one book, I can show you that. John chapter 5, I'm sorry, Genesis chapter 5, and we want to go back to verse number Yeah, sons and daughters. I'm going to read down to that. We want to, let's do verse 3. Let's start with verse 3. We will read down to 7. So when we read this, watch what it says. It says, and Adam lived 130 years and begat sons and sons in his likeness. See, there had never been no daughters until you have the new creation of Seth. Once Seth was created, then you had children. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. See, you're not the children of Israel. You are not the children of Abraham. See, you got to understand. That's why you're the new creation. You're not the Gentiles. See, this is how it works. You're not the Gentiles. You're not the Jews. You are the new creation. You are a new race of people. The sons of God are a new race of people. Listen, we never been here before. It's too much for you to handle, isn't it? See, you still want to be, you still want to be color man, right? Okay, come on. See, they were here when you came. All right. This is why this message is so awesome. The apostle, this was preached 2,000 years ago. God is revealing it to his people today because he got to get people out of religion and tradition of men. People say, I'm Baptist, I'm Methodist, I'm Protestant, I'm Catholic. That's what people say. They don't know they're sons of God. And sons of God have nothing to do with Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, all these different words. That's not who you are. That's why I always say one of the greatest things I say to parents, tell the children who they are. Stop telling them some name. What's your name? Well, I'm Boo Boo. Why you know I'm Boo Boo? Mama called me Boo Boo. And she called the husband. Yep. Now I hope somebody would have got that one. They called the husband Boo. They called me Boo Boo. See, you wonder why they don't know what. Then they get to school. Who are I'm Boo Boo? Don't do them like that. And then the husband, that's my boo. That's my boo-boo. Come on, man. Snap out of it. Tell people who they are. Look, my auntie might be working. My aunt could be listening right now. She listens to this broadcast from Mississippi. Her name, we call her today, Honeygale. Now, my mother's sister, my mother passed. She's right over there, sitting down. Her name is not Honeygale. I'm going to set Honeygale free today. Honeygale, you are not Honeygale. You are Dorothy Curtis. See, when you tell people who they are, see, what we got to do is we got to tell people who they are. Now, I got a lot of nicknames for my wife. But I call my wife Mrs. Crump. When my wife is on the telephone with anybody, I remind her, that's not who you are. You tell them I am Mrs. Crump. That is my professional name. All right? Now, I'm Sister Crump in here for as pastor and all that stuff. But with me, I can call her them name, honey, baby, darling. That's our name to one another. But none of them is boo-boo. I don't know where that one comes from. I'm destroying the boo in here today. All right. And boo-boo right along with it. All right. Now, let's go to work. That's enough. All right, here we go. Now, in Genesis chapter number 5, verse number 3, it says, Adam lived 130 years old and begat a son in his long likeness after his image, remember, and called his name Seth. Now, remember, Adam is the only one created in God's image. So his son had to be in his image. So if he was righteous, his son was righteous, okay? Here we go. Now, God had already killed a lamb and made him righteous, so I don't have to go back through that again, right? All right. Now, here in verse 4, and the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth, 800 years, and now Adam begat sons and daughters. See, son, after he got Seth, now he begat sons and daughters. All right. Now, that's not Seth's children. He's talking about the next verse will tell you after we get to verse 8, Seth's generation started. All right, but here, Adam, he still got sons and daughters. Verse number 5 says, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. So 800 some years, he begat sons and daughters. Now verse number 8 says, 6, I'm sorry, and Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 877 years and begat sons and daughters. See, Seth had his own children. So he's talking about, but Adam did not beget sons and daughters until he was In verse number 3, verse number 4, and then he lived another 800 years. All right? So he begat sons and daughters after he was, now verse number 3, and Adam lived 130 years. That is 130. All right, 130 years. Then he begat sons and daughters for another 800 years is my point. All right. So we know, because you are not, you nobody around here know 800 years. So we ain't been here that long. Trying to give you some idea that the earth was filled with children of God. All right, because that's where we're going to get to chapter 6. These were the children of Seth. Seth was the righteous seed. Now his seed was full of the earth. But watch what happened that happened. And verse, this is when you're going to get into Seth's children, sons of God. Here we go. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughter was born to them, men, all right, otherwise Gentiles, men, Gentiles. So you had the sons of God, then you had Gentiles. But now that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, Gentiles, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. So they got as many wives as they want. All right? But these sons of God were God's sons because they were the righteous seed. Do anybody understand what that means? You've been born again. You were born of the Spirit. You are now a righteous seed. That's why I kept giving you. I gave you last week, Christ is our life. Christ liveth in me. We were created in Christ. We were crucified with Christ. You are a new generation. Did I come back today and say you are a new creation? I don't know nothing else to tell you. You, Christ is your righteousness now. 1 Corinthians 1 and 30. All right, now because you are a righteous seed, not you, you got to stop looking at you out there. I'm talking to Christ in you now. He's a righteous seed. Galatians 3:19. Do anybody understand? All right, see, I'm a righteous seed. See, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about Christ in me. All right, that's Christ in you is a righteous seed. All right, now let's look at this. Now, but as I am, so is he. Look at 1 John 4:17. Let's look at that. 1 John 4:17. So you got to understand something. You and Christ are one. 1 Corinthians 6:17. You are one spirit. We're going to look at both of these because I really got to make it happen here because it looks like I'm not going to be able to make it to. If you catch on quick, I can do it, but it don't look like it's going to happen today. 1 John 4:17, then we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 6:17. All right. 1 John 4:17. Are you there? If you just look at the screen, because they got it up there. 4, come on. All right, verse 17, read it. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Now that's for them. Remember, you ain't got no judgment. Verse 17, because as he is, so are we in this world. So they realize that. They realize as who they are sons of God. So are we in this world. We are sons of God now. Now, verse 1, if we go back to verse 1, 1 John 3:1, it said, now we are the sons of God. Because as he is, it ain't about you no more. As he is, so are we. We are, so are we, as he is. So when I realize he is holy, he is righteous. Everything he is, God is. I had them just saying God is. I don't know what else to do for y'all. We saying God is. We saying God's a new creation. But y'all be listening. All right. All right. Now, top it 1 John 3 back there. I sang the song. I preach it. I'm trying to get it over to you. 1 John 3. 1 John 3, 1. 1 John 3, 1. Remember, John talked about him after Christ. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Read, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called what? Sons of God. Who are you? You're a son of God. You are not sons now. You're only one person. Don't add an S on to you now. They talk about we are. But you are a son. All right? Now, he does not call you a daughter because that's no more. All right, that's what happened in the first creation. That's what I'm trying to show you. the sons of God began to sleep with the daughters of men. The daughters of men was outside of the camp. The sons of God began to sleep with the daughters of men outside the camp. So, but let me show you this. I'm trying to get you there. It's taking a little time. If you read with me, you can speed it up a little bit. That'll help me out. Verse number 2, once again, 1 John 3:2 says, Beloved, now we're the sons of God. If I can just get you to say now. Say, you can figure it out later. Just say it. Now I am a son of God. All right. See, if you're a son of God, that makes the God your who? That makes him your father. If I get you to think this way, you begin to talk to him and communicate. He created you to fellowship and have relationship. God wanted children from the beginning. Why he created Adam? Because he wants sons. Now let's go to two places I want to show you, and that's Galatians, in case I don't get here. Go to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. I want to show you two places. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. Before Ephesians, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. So he does not call us daughters in the new covenant. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 28. Because it's Christ. Can you see now? Because it's only who? It's Christ. What happened to the daughter? She died. She died. What happened to the other son? Old things are? We know no man after the. So that's why it's not daughters anymore. Okay? Galatians 3, 28, read. There's neither Jew. Well, we got it. Let's go back and read verse number 27. Verse 27. Now, remember the Holy Spirit put us in Christ. You got a whole denomination of people out there think they baptized people and put them in Christ. That is so sad. That is absolutely ignoramus. All right, verse 27. For as many of you as have been. Can't you see have been? Have been at the cross. Have been. Have been at the cross. It's not happening today. As many as have been baptized into Christ. When did God put you in Christ? Come on, I need your help now. I want to show you if you participate. This is the greatest thing you ever going to learn in your life. It's when I show you how God puts you in Christ. But I can't do it when you just... I want to do it so bad. The Spirit of God want to do it. He want to do it so bad, but it's just like you tell people, Can't miss my brother back there. verse number 27, read. For as many of you as have been. I mean, you can't tell nobody now. All as have been. Can't you see that's past tense? You've been baptized into Christ. What happened to you? You put on Christ. You did that at the cross. That was not, you did that. And then 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, by one spirit. Let's back, I'm sure. Now, I got to finish this first. But you read that. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. As by one spirit, we have all been baptized into Christ. Have put on Christ. You've done it all, man. The Holy Ghost put you in Christ. There ain't nothing you doing that. That's something for a man to step in a pool of water and say, I'm going to put you in Christ. God help you. Woo! Verse 28. And watch what happened once he put you in Christ. He made you somebody else now. God help you. There, and those folks graduated from college, man. Verse number 28. There neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female. Now once they baptized you into Christ, they did all this, change your identity. Come on, man. Think for yourself. All right, now this is what happened. I want you to count all these because I want to show you another group. He letting you know if you were somebody else too, you ain't that neither. All right, let's get these first. There's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one where? In Christ. Now I want you to take the same thing and go to Colossians 3:10. Let's go to Colossians. Now I want you to mark your Bible, Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, because there's another one to go with that. That's Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. I got so much to show you if you just participate with me and help me with this thing. I can't pull one way and you want to sleep. go to bed on Saturday night. Jesus. You go to bed on Saturday night before you get ready for Sunday morning. You should never get up on a Sunday morning and say, what my shoe, what my sock? Don't you realize that your flesh gonna keep that from happening? Because your spirit wanna go to church. Oh, I wanna be in church so bad. The flesh said, I hear that shot. And you know what? You can't think of it because it's in my mind. Natural things is in the natural mind. You don't know what that sock at. Lord, what that sock? I got another. Get rid of that night. Get rid of that night. You got to get ahead of that flesh, boy. You get up in the morning looking for stuff. Nah, praise the Lord. See, that happened to me this morning. I had to wake my wife up this morning. I couldn't find my key to the front door. And I couldn't go out the back door because we're doing some work out there. Now I step in the mud. So I said, go out of my front door. I won't use my front door key. I don't know how many years. But this morning I had to have it. I went back and said, honey, I hate to miss you. Wake you up. 5 o'clock in the morning, but I need the key to the front door. Because if I don't have it, I can't lock her back in. She got up, came to the door. That's all your name, man? I said, yeah, man. I'm going to take you out, girl. I'm going to take you out. I mean, I'm telling you, she passed that test in love. Because I was like, oh, my God, I got to go wake her up. All right, Colossians chapter 10, 3, verse 10 and verse 11. Y'all know somebody come over there and mess with you. You in that sleep zone. Man, you about to mess with me right now. Colossians chapter 3. All right, Colossians chapter 3, verse 11. Just one verse will be enough. You can look at the rest of it. He says, now he's talking about in Christ. He's talking about in Christ. Where there is neither, he named the rest of them. I gave you the other verse already, right? Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and where? Christ is all and in y'all. So you got to understand that Christ is in you. But let me show you something. God, I got so many places to show you. That clock, I came by on that clock. It's going to tick on me. All right. But I'm going to get that eventually. All right. Man, I thought I was going to go today. All right, let's go to John chapter 15. What I want to show you is, see, I'm going to show you, maybe the next week, God will let me show you how he put you in Christ. Now remember, I'm going to show you how he put you in Christ. I already show you how God put Christ in you. But if you can be in Christ, I'm going to show you this. These people was in the kingdom. Go to John Gospel. The Gospel of John. They were in the kingdom. I showed you that last week. You want to get two things together here. That's Matthew chapter 8 this morning. And we're going to look at the Gospel of John. We're going to look at both today. I get a chance to get this done. Matthew chapter number 8. No, you gave it to me this morning, baby. I'm looking at the wrong one. They were in the kingdom. They were 8 and 12. All right, 8 and 12. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 12. All right. And then we want to look at, hold your finger, hold Matthew 8 and 12. Then we're going to go to the Gospel of John chapter 15. All right, I want to show you something. See, when the Bible talks about the Old Testament on the John's Gospel, he's talking about different in me than Paul is. That's very important. And he's going to make that distinction. John chapter 15. And we're going to start reading with verse 1. Now, I'm going to give you just a couple in verse 1 because that's not where I need to be at. I got to get over further. I got to get my Greek Bible to come out of here because I left it in the Greek, my notes. John chapter 15. See, this is why you, when you're talking about study, man, you got this. This thing is real. This thing is real. When you're talking about studying the Word, if you really want to know the Word, the Holy Ghost will teach you. But you got to have time. That's what he always say. You got the time. That's why when a guy come around, you talking about, hey, what's going on? They say, do you have that time? You have that much time? because it's going to take you a lot of time getting to know me, bro. All right. That's what happened. We want to know the Lord, see? All right, John chapter 15. Are you there? All right, now I'm going to read this out of the King James, just the first out of verse 1. We're just going to do verse 1 and 2 out of the King James. Then we're going to skip down. All right, there we are. Read, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears no fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, this is happening to Israel. This is why they were cut off, because they did not bring forth no fruit. Now, I read to you in John, all right? Now, I am the true vine. Let's go down, let's start reading with verse 5. Just skip down to verse 5. Are you there? Skip down to verse 5. I am the vine. Are you there? I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me. Hear that word, abideth? Come on, I need your attention just for a minute. You know, he that what? He that abideth in me and I in them. See, the both abide in me and I in them. All right, now this is what happened because you were created how? Come on, now, you were created in Christ. All right, when I use the word you were created, you will be able to fill out the rest because the only place you were created was in Christ. But Christ was not created in you. Because you and Christ were created at the same time. He was created in you. I'm sorry, you were created in him. But it never showed you that you were created in Christ. You have to separate them, is my point. There's a you created in Christ, and then there's a Christ created in you. They are different. They don't happen simultaneously. All right, here we go. So John says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. Without me, you can't do nothing. If you abide not in me, you cast forth as a branch. Now that's what happened to Israel. They did not abide in the vine. And they are withered. Men will gather them, cast them into the fire, and they're going to be burned. That's what happened to Israel. Because they didn't abide in the vine. Verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you can ask what you will. That was to Israel. All right. Because of that, let me take you to the next part of that verse on the John chapter 15. Now, let's go back to John 14. Let me show you the other half of that. Well, he's going to talk about what's going to happen when the Holy Ghost comes. See, I got a teaching on the Holy Ghost. We're not there yet. John chapter 14 is where I want you to go back to. And I'm only going to be able to give you one verse. That's verse 20. John 14, 20. Watch what he's telling when the Holy Ghost comes. John 14 and verse 20. Go back to verse number 16. John chapter 14, verse 16. Because I want you to see it's the Holy Spirit. Read. And I would pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you. How long? How long the Holy Ghost going to be with you? Forever. Don't ever sing no song that you said you will never leave me nor forsake me. Because at the end of the Gospel of St. Matthew, he says he won't do it until the end of the world. See, he was with them to the end of the world. Stop quoting what they said. He said he's with you forever. All right. All right. And verse number 17, even the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. See, when a man not saved, he's still the world. He's still flesh. He cannot receive the Holy Spirit. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him. Why? Because he lives where? He lives with you and shall be. Can you see the shall be? You're created in Christ. He lives with you, but he shall be where? Are you going to read what it says? He shall be in you. Now, Jesus knew that. So just because you were created in Christ, but he shall be where? In you. That's Romans 8 and 9. So if the Spirit of Christ is not in you, you're still not of his. I'm trying to show you that these people here was connected to Christ in love. That's what I want to show you here. All right. And verse 18 says, read, I will never leave you. Our comfort is our what? He came to them, right? Now let's look at verse number 19. Yet a little while, and the world sees him no more. But you see me, because I live, you shall live also. Why are you alive? Because he lived. See, that's why, because he lived, that's why you're alive. Now look at verse 20 is what I'm trying to get you to. At that day, what day he's talking about? Because when he rise from the dead, Acts chapter 1 said they saw him, 500 brothers at one time. All right? He didn't just rise and leave. He stayed for 40 days appearing to people in Israel. He stayed how many days? He could not leave because he had to stay until Pentecost. So that's why when you read Acts chapter 1, he'll tell you Pentecost was the 50th day. He had to stay 40 days. And then the next 10 days, you'll find in the book of Revelation where he told you that you have to now stay abide. If you can make it for 10 more days, you'll be all right because the Holy Ghost is going to come. That's why it was that way. The Holy Ghost came on the 50th day, Pentecost. See, we're going to go to all of this. We're going to show you. But Jesus Christ started out April the 14th. See, I'm trying to get you somewhere. Y'all still didn't remember. I told you Easter was on the 14th. And I came in here preaching on the new creation has come. And nobody remembering what I'm saying. Now that's bothering me. See, if you go to Israel today, today is Easter. Everywhere but here. They don't want you to know. Easter's on the 14th. See, that's what you got to understand. Stop going by what your world is telling you. They celebrate in this country where the thing look at its shadow. And they have a day. Where folk walk around with a hat on and a coat on trying to look at a dumb animal. Does he see his shadow? And you going to follow them on day of Easter going to be? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I don't know, later. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Look at somebody and say, the day is Easter.
The day is Easter.
Listen, not because of you want it to be. I can go back in Leviticus 23 right now and show you it's on the 14th of the first month, Abib. It's the day that they came out of bondage. See, you don't understand. Easter is your celebration. That's why I came in here today saying today is the new creation. The new creation has come. Your bondage is over. You don't have to stay in bondage no longer. Come on, get on your feet. I'm not going to go no longer. Boy, if I can get y'all to understand your pastor is smarter than you think. Your pastor is smarter than you give him credit for. I spend time with God 7 days a week. 24 hours a day. Every chance I get. I eat and I sleep and I drink this word. This word is my life. This is how I stay alive. In the next 11 days, I will be 75. I'm just like Caleb. And I feel the same way I felt when I was 45. Because I found out what my life is. I don't have to be worried about my old life going to make it or not make it. I got a new life. I got the God that lives inside of me that keeps me alive. I am hid in Christ. I am buried in Christ. I'm risen with Christ. I'm a new creation. Hallelujah. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But you got to get it here. You got to get it here. It can't be out your mouth only. It's got to be here. You got to have it in your mind. You got to have a renewed mind. This word that I'm giving you got to get in your mind. You got to realize that this stuff that they're showing you on TV 7 days a week is taking your mind, taking everything in your mind. And you got to understand something. If you can be able to get the word in your mind on a daily basis, give us day by day our daily bread. If I can get you to eat this every morning for breakfast, if I can, while you're doing your cereal, you can have the word on. While you're doing your workout, while you're in your workout, you can have that word on. When you get up in the morning, you can have the word on. I'm trying to get you so you'll have the word on. Whatever you're doing in your car, put the word on. When you're coming to work, put the word on. Going to bed, put the word. I can't get to sleep at night. Put the word on. You put that word on, you'll be sleeping a half hour. You won't remember nothing that tape said. How many know what I'm talking about? Anytime I get in the bed, it's tough for me to go to sleep, I put my TV on. See, I got a TV on. You got the same thing on there. You put your TV on and put on one of the Alexander Scorby. And you put on Galatians, Ephesians. And you go to sleep. Later on, I hear my wife, she'll cut TV off. Am I lying, honey? That's how I do. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, just in case you don't know how all this will start. I'm going to take you through the word. I'm going to take you back from Genesis. I'm going to show you why God divided the Gentiles. And he had Jew, Gentiles. But you don't have that no more. You are a new creation from Christ. There is no more Jews. There is no more Gentiles. They were done away at the cross. You got to understand. Don't let nobody tell us we no spiritual Jews. That's a lie from hell. That natural stuff is gone. God on the cross, he took a Jew on one side. Come here, son. You can do that. Stand right here. Come here, son. I got so much to show you. You got to know why they was on the cross like that. God took a Jew on one side. And he took a Jew on one side. He took the Son of Man. You okay, son? Give me a hand. He took these two men with him. And he took them down. They died with him that day. When I read to you Colossians, they're going to tell you. He took these two men, Jew and Gentile. And he took them down with him and buried them. In his own death, you died with me. Jew and Gentile, I'm getting rid of you. I'm getting rid of the confusion. I'm getting rid of the division. I'm getting rid of all this stuff. I'm taking it down. He took the law. He took the old covenant. He took everything that was old. He took old Adam. That's who this was, old Adam. He took it all. He said, well, you're going down with me. He took them down into death. And he buried Adam, son of man Adam. He buried the Jew, buried the Gentile. And when he came up, brother, he was a new creation. There's no more Jew. There's no more Gentile. There's only one man. You saw it before. Just didn't know what you were saying. Over here, come on, guys, on this side. Before he died. He's up here on the, come on, brother. He's on the Mount of Transfiguration. But they don't know him. They with him. Peter, James, and John. I want y'all to go with me. They don't realize why they're going with him. And then once he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, something's going to happen to him. He's going to begin to pray. Give me a hand. He's going to begin to pray. And he's going to be transfigured. Matthew 17. He's going to change into light right before their eyes. They don't know. They don't know, but he's doing it for them. He wants them to see the glory. If you believe in me, you'll see the glory. He wants to let them know he's not just an ordinary man. I am not just an ordinary man. That's what Jesus was telling him. I am the Son of the living God. My Father is in me. The Holy Ghost is in me.
That's what he's trying to tell us. We got to get out of that other stuff. You are a son of the living God now. You are the embodiment of the Almighty God. You are the church, the body of Christ. It's not how it lives. It's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son. Hey, my time is up. I thank you for yours. And the door of faith is open unto you.
Thank you for listening to the Door of Faith Ministries podcast. I hope this message was a blessing to you, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode. If you're listening on iTunes, be sure to give us a 5-star rating. Also, be sure to find us online at www.mydooroffaith.org. That's www.mydooroffaith.org.